Welcome to the Soulful Summit Podcast, a journey to your higher self. I'm your host, Haley Peel, a life coach and pharmacist, where I will help you elevate your self-care, reclaim your energy, and align with your true north. We will chat about holistic living, adventure, raising your energetic vibration, and how to connect with your higher self. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Empowered Adventurer Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Peel. I'm a pharmacist and a mindset coach. I love outdoor adventure and my dog Fitzroy. 8 years ago, I walked into the Grand Canyon for a 42-mile thru hike, and 28 hours later, emerged with swollen, blistered feet, a broken spirit, and a fear of living adventurously. Ultimately, this experience woke me up and inspired me to run an Ironman, climb to 18,000 feet in the Himalayas, and return to the 42-mile Grand Canyon rim-to-rim-to-rim hike. This show is about how difficult outdoor experiences build inner strength and mindfulness to live a life with purpose and adventure. It's also about finding a balance between stretching ourselves and being content and grateful each day. Every week, I will share adventures, insights, and tips to empower you to step into your own adventure-inspired life. I'll bring on guests to share their stories of adventure and inner strength. I started this show because I'm passionate about cultivating grit, growth, and gratitude. But I also need a community to encourage that growth, a lifeline to lean on when things get tough, something to remind me that I'm not alone and to help me rise again. I hope you learn something, laugh a little, and are empowered to step into your best adventure-inspired life. Let's get started. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Empowered Adventurer Podcast. If you like the show so far, make sure you subscribe, share it with a friend, rate it, and leave a review. Okay, so before I introduce today's guest, I wanted to share a few things. So coming soon is the Empowered Adventurer Podcast community on Circle. This is a space to connect with like-minded adventurous souls, get trip inspiration, maybe find an adventure travel buddy, and get weekly strategies to cultivate grit, growth, gratitude, and live your best adventurous life. You can sign up with a link in the show notes to get notified when the community is live. Also, I wanted to share if you're looking for a little extra support around feelings of self-doubt, or maybe you're feeling a little anxious and it's keeping you stuck, I would love to chat with you. I have a few spots open each month for a one-on-one 60-minute free strategy call. I believe we all have the superpower to create what we want in life. Sometimes we just need a coach to help us on our journey. Through transformational coaching and mindful hiking, I give women specific tools to conquer self-doubt and anxiety so they can unleash their inner strength. You can schedule your free strategy call in the show notes. One of the tools I use to shift my anxiety and self-doubt is hiking. I didn't start out hiking the Grand Canyon, and though it is an amazing adventure, it's not the only place I find joy and freedom. I find peace in short nature walks in local parks each week. Just short bouts in nature help reduce stress, anxiety, and allow those creative juices to flow. I created a guide called The Ultimate Beginner's Guide to Mindful Hiking to help you get started. In the guide, I share what mindful hiking is, what to wear, how to pick a trail, how to practice mindfulness while hiking, a day hike checklist, plus pro tips and other links to resources and gear sites. It's perfect if you're curious about hiking and hiking mindfully, but not really sure where to start. I will add a link in the show notes so you can get your guide today. Okay, so I am really excited to introduce you to today's guest, Reese Sun. Reese is a Stoke-filled champion of equity and access to and sharing the magic of the outdoors. She resides in sunny Denver, Colorado. It wasn't always this way. She actually grew up in the small suburb of Sugar Land, Texas, where there was never snow, no mountains, and she spent most of her time avoiding the sweltering Texas heat. After a later in life realization of her outdoor passions and her love for encouraging people to get after that type 2 fun, she now works on the global strategy team for the North Face, aiming to do business and do good at the same time. We even chat about our very much type 2 fun when we went to India in the Himalayas for 6 weeks with NOLS, or National Outdoor Leadership School. So I can't wait for you to hear this conversation. So without further ado, here is Reese Sun. So Reese, what is a quote that has been inspiring to you recently and why?
Great question. So the quote I'm going to bring up is from Chris McDougall. He wrote a book called Born to Run. It's about ultra marathons and how humans are made to run. And he says, the reason we race isn't so much to beat each other, but to be with each other. So before anyone gets too impressed, I'm definitely not an accomplished ultra runner or ultra marathoner by any stretch, but I really found a lot of parallels in this quote, both in relation to yourself with your environment, you know, going up a tough mountain. And also when we're outside with each other, you know, ripping down a ski line with friends, I really think that it just speaks to the fact that for me, the outdoors is the greatest possible platform for connections. So yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch, but yeah, I think that's the one that is most inspiring me today, especially since I've been really involved with creating community in the outdoors.
I love that. I love that book too. It's been a couple years since I read it, but I think in that book he talks about, is that the one where he talks about like barefoot running too?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I believe I'm going to butcher this, but the Hopi people and how they just run like super long distances, you know, through the canyons. And I'm an aspiring runner, so to speak. I never really grew up liking to run. Actually, like in middle school and high school, I definitely was like the least athletic person possible. But you know, I just ran my first half marathon this year, so I'm really excited about that. So lots of parallels there. But you know, even training for and running a half marathon, I think my favorite part was just going through the training program with a friend, and she was there to encourage me. And you know, we started our race day together, like 7 a.m. running through the Denver Zoo, and it was super magical and honestly awesome to bond with my friend Carly through that process too. So,
oh, I love that! And congrats on your first half. You'll be doing an ultra before you know it.
Yep. That's the hope. We'll see if my legs are up for that. But slowly getting there, baby steps, literally.
Yeah, very cool. So, what is your definition of adventure, and how do you apply it to your life?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think the great thing about adventure is that, in my opinion, it doesn't have to be anything grand. I think it's actually more defined by a feeling. I'm going to quote a friend here who always tells me growth is usually uncomfortable whenever I felt challenged meeting the moment. And I think for me, that's where adventure really begins. At this mindset of intentionally tackling something that makes you uncomfortable in a positive way that forces you to grow. And, you know, I think, you know, in all instances, it's always really amplified and made extra magical by sharing that with others. Sometimes it's bonding through adversity, you know, like our Knowles trip, Haley, but I think that's what really defines adventure for me. And as for living that, I think I've slowly discovered that it's actually kind of naturally how I operate anyways. I'm definitely a person that loves variety, and I thrive off of taking on challenges. And I think that's taken me on lots of incredible adventures, including, you know, taking up backpacking, and I learned to ski kind of in my mid to late 20s, as well as moving to a brand new city for a job where I knew nobody. So I think I have a little bit of addiction to kind of diving feet first into the deep end. But you know, that's how it looks like for me. And I also want to kind of take a second here to recognize the privilege that exists in that definition as well. You know, there's so many people experiencing trauma and don't have the room to take on, you know, positive challenge, so to speak. At the end of the day, I think it's all about investing in experiences to build yourself in the ways that you need.
Thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful. I love that. I can also resonate to, you were talking about your friend with like building resiliency and that uncomfortable feeling. It reminds me of my friend, Dan. He told me when we were climbing Mount Rainier and we were mm-hmm. just finished the DC route, the Disappointment Cleaver, but the weather was bad and we were not going to make the summit. And I had just thrown up and just was feeling miserable. And he was like, you got to embrace the suck. And I was like, okay, embracing the suck. And I think I learned that lesson multiple times when we were on our Knowles trip in India too, for sure.
Yep. I mean, I think this is actually so funny because it really, I think My one thing that I've really learned to embrace, really resonating with what you said, is, you know, the concept of type two fun. I think they taught us that during Knowles as well, but I really learned it when I went to backpack for the first time in New Zealand, studying abroad. And, you know, my friend Jessie, she was the one who, I mean, actually found her on Facebook, and she was like, hey, does anybody want to go backpack with me 2 weeks before school starts? And I kind of just threw my hand up and was like, yes, I want to try this out. And yeah, she was with me as we went up and down the Kepler track for 4 days, 5 days and four nights, I think. And, you know, I had a backpack that was like way too overpacked. I twisted my ankle at one point. I had never moved so slow in my entire life. I think I was carrying like probably 20 pounds on my back, which in the grand scheme of things, you know, I think when we were on our Knowles trip, we're carrying twice that weight. So I look back at it, it really wasn't that bad, but it was like the toughest time in my life. But yeah, I mean, she taught me how to love type two fun. And, you know, I love the fact that, yeah, you kind of just crest over a mountaintop and you're like, holy crap, I can do this. And I actually did that. And realizing that my body was capable of so much more than I thought. So yes, totally love embracing the suck. I think that's actually really helped me translate like that perspective to different parts of my life, I would say. Just, you know, especially anything that's like been difficult to work towards. I think what I've learned is that like a lot of things in life, it really sucks while doing it, but you can look back at it and say like, wow, it wasn't really that bad in the grand scheme of things. And yeah, just kind of building that belief in yourself.
Yeah, I love that. So tell me a little bit more about how you define that type two fun and why should people do it?
Yeah. So I think the official definition of type two fun, I hope nobody from Knowles comes at me for this if I define it wrong here, but I believe it's when it sucks while you're doing it, but then you're having a lot of fun after. So I think the standard definition is like climbing a mountain, like super tough, your hamstrings and calves and everything's burning while you're going up, and then you get to the top and it's beautiful and you're like, wow, that was amazing. It's like the sucky type of rewarding fun. And I mean, I think everybody should do it selfishly because for me, it had such a transformational experience. Just challenging yourself. And I think pushing the limits kind of helps you figure out what you're capable of and gives you that confidence to really apply yourself in pretty much all areas of life. So I'm a big type two fun proponent for sure.
Yeah, cannot agree more. Tell me a story about a challenging outdoor adventure that has had a meaningful impact on your life.
One of my key building experiences, so to speak, summer of 2016, which for some reason seems to be like an incredible summer for everybody. I feel like it's memed everywhere. But in 2016, summer and fall, I actually took like a couple months off before I started work in January. And as part of my grand adventure, I did a trip with Knowles. And for everybody listening, I guess this is where I met Haley. We spent, I believe it ended up being 6 total weeks in India together. So it was in the Himalayan range. I think we ended up hiking probably 80 somewhere between 80 to 100 miles through the Hindari Glacier route. And so it kind of started at this remote village. You went deep into the mountains and came out, and, you know, really a lot of blood, sweat, and tears with Haley here. But we were carrying, I think, like 45. I remember
writing this down. It was like 65 pounds.
45 pounds. It was a lot of weight. Like, I cannot even believe, I still remember when I like put on my backpack for the first time and I was like, I feel like I'm carrying like a human body back there. It's like so heavy. I don't know how I'm gonna walk. But yeah, I mean, it was just the craziest 6 weeks of my life being out there in the backcountry, like no signal whatsoever, like zero contact with the outside world. And yeah, just had so much fun kind of hiking and getting to know people, like face to face and without any outside distractions. And you know, also just seeing India, so many good memories of just like passing by chai huts. You know, we got a lot of experience in terms of glacier travel and technical experience, which was really cool. Learned how to use an ice axe, learned how to use a bathroom in the wilderness. So many like middle school level jokes from that. We were not a very mature group of people. Yeah, it was such a great experience. And you know, I think Knowles is such a wonderful thing to have, especially I think at my age when I did that, which was like 22, 23 years old. Yeah, I think it's really great to just like a good experience throwing yourself out there, learning some technical skills, and yeah, just jumping into the thick of it, honestly. I don't know, how did you feel about your experience with Knowles, Haley?
Yeah, no, I love what you said. There were so many things. So I did it when I was like in my early 30s, and it was something that I always wanted to do when I was in college, but just never got around to it with school and work. And it was just a point in time where I was like, I'm going to do it. And I thought about quitting my job and doing like a semester in Patagonia. And I think we had talked about this before, actually, maybe.
Yeah.
And like I decided like it was 1 month of like kayaking, and I didn't want to, which while I like kayaking, I did not want to be like wet for a month, but I definitely wanted like mountaineering experience and the cultural experience. So that's how I picked the India trip. And it was a phenomenal adventure. Like I will never forget that. It was also one of the hardest, most challenging, like mentally, physically, emotionally experiences, not every day necessarily, but there are a couple days that like mm-hmm. really stood out. And just that cultural aspect, I mean, it was really just, it was an amazing experience. And I couldn't agree more. I think the bathroom thing was like probably like the first like traumatic thing, but I honestly now you just kind of get used to it. And it's like, I mean, I actually, when I go backpacking now, that's what I still do. Like, I don't take toilet paper. Like, it's actually very, your body, you can adapt to so much. And it's just, and you also like come back. And I was like so appreciative of the things that I would take for granted. Like, there's so many layers and things I think we could go down with this Knowles trip. But tell me, what is a highlight of the trip that stands out for you? And what is a low light of the trip?
Great question. I mean, honestly, there were so many highlights. I'm going to pinpoint two of them. So yeah, I think one of them was just like sleeping on a glacier when, you know, I think what they don't always make super clear to you when you sign up for a Knowles trip is that it's not guaranteed to be like a through route, right? Like it's so dependent on weather and circumstances and how the route looks, and all of this is like amplified in backcountry India where there's just like there's no infrastructure whatsoever. And I remember, yeah, I mean, I was just so happy when we kind of finally got the go ahead that like, yes, the route's clear, we can make it across the glacier, like this is a go. So that was amazing. And then just the fact of like actually sleeping on the glacier was incredible. I think that is just so cool to like, yeah, have such an interest in like being in the mountains. And then like I don't know if you can like be more like raw experienced in the mountains as you are like sleeping on a glacier. Like that's the purest form of being in the mountains I feel like you can get. And just like, you know, hearing like the crackle and pops as certain parts of the ice move, which was like kind of terrifying sometimes, but knowing that like we had the skills to like maneuver around the glacier and know how to provide shelter for ourselves, that was just such a magical experience. And yeah, the other one I kind of want to touch on too, which is a little bit like unexpected for me, is on, I can't remember what day this was, but towards our last week or two of the trek, I remember that our trip leaders, specifically Prani, asked if we wanted to eat meat. So the entire trip, you know, I'm sure you remember this very well, Haley, but we didn't really have any meat. Our only meat source was salami sticks, which we always finished like so fast.
So fast.
And towards the end of the trip, you know, we were asked if we wanted to eat meat for the first time forever, but if we did, we would have to kill it ourselves. And so we were like, questionably, yes, maybe. And so Prani literally went off somewhere and he came back like 3 hours later with a goat, like from another village. He like just climbed down a mountain leading this goat over. And I think that's when it really sunk in. And I think all of us, I believe it was the boys on the trip that were like, okay, we'll step up and actually like take the machete and go through this process. But, you know, I just remember being outside and having this big tarp with this goat that we were literally about to kill. And I mean, you know, going through a process of blessing the goat and kind of thanking it for its life and the meal that we were about to have, just like crowding in the back when they were actually killing the goat because I could not watch it with my bare eyes. But even to this day, like, I don't know how you felt about this, Haley. Like, I thought it was like, I think it's so necessary as someone who does eat meat to like understand that process and like where your food comes from and like what has to happen for you to have meat on your plate. And yeah, I think, you know, I would love one day when I have kids, like I want them to go through this too, like to understand, like if they want to eat meat, this is like what happens, what this is how it gets on your plate eventually. It wasn't really something I was expecting from that trip, but when I step back, I'm like, that was a really, really interesting and meaningful experience, just like stepping back and thinking about where my food comes from.
I totally agree. I turned away too when they chopped the head off too. It was kind of like, but I agree with you. I do think that it is just, because I think it's easy to just not even think about it, or it's just not even in our forefront of the mind. But I think like kind of just being more appreciative of where that food sources come from, I think can be eye-opening and kind of shift your perspective too.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely still like semi-traumatic, but I also do remember that being like one of the best meals I've had like in my life ever. It was just like fresh goat curry. And I still remember, I think this is where we had the Babaji with us and he like cooked a grand old meal too. And I mean, when you've been out in the backcountry for like 4 weeks and you've been just, I think we were down to just like beans and cheese at that point, but nobody wanted to eat it because people got real gassy from that. it was such a treat. So yes, like weird highlight for sure. I think a low that I really haven't talked about this with a lot of people either, but and this is definitely a unique to me experience. So one night when we were going up towards the glacier, we were sleeping, you know, our tents were kind of on this like bridge. It was up a mountain and there was this tiny bridge to another mountain. And so we were up super duper high in the valley. It had been a super long day. I got up in the middle of the night. It was probably like 2 a.m. You know, I just grabbed my headlamp, a little bit of water, soap, whatever, to go do my business. And I went to the bathroom. And on the way back, I don't know how this happened because I wasn't very far away from the tents, you know, probably like 50 feet or whatever max. But I got lost on the way coming back, like totally disoriented, didn't know where I was. I walked around for, you know, in the direction I thought was right for a while before I stopped and was like, holy crap, I have no idea where I am. I'm literally in the darkness in the Indian wilderness, just like no idea. I could walk off the side of this like bridge cliff if I'm not too careful. And so, and I think the part that got really scary was that it started snowing at some point. So walking around, I know I'm disoriented. It's snowing. I start to panic a little bit. Like, I remember like building a shelter out of rocks for myself at some point because, you know, I'm sitting there just trying to reason with myself, like, oh my God, like, I don't know really what to do. I've been yelling for like what feels like hours. It was probably only like an hour and a half. Kind of decided that like I needed to like put a shelter up. I didn't have like my full down jacket or anything. I kind of was just in my mid-layer fleece and you know, waited there for a little bit, thought about like a million different possibilities. And like, it's just that, like, it was probably, I think, in total, like a 2.5 hour affair, like an hour and a half of me walking around, like deciding to build a shelter. And, you know, eventually the good news is I the snow did clear up and I was able to, like, I went to the top of this hill and I saw the tent in the distance. And, you know, without the snow, it was much easier to figure out my way back. But like, I remember just like yelling up at the stars because I thought they were headlamps of my teammates, like finally coming to find me. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm like literally going crazy. And, you know, as scary as that was, I think for me, what I'm really proud of is I think I've always been more of a calm person, like more than I should be sometimes. And I think like I was able to step back for a second and be like, okay, what makes the most sense here? It's not continuing to yell, you know. And I was like losing my voice at that point. And I think just like stepping back and saying, what makes the most sense? It stops snowing. Let's go up this hill. Let's like get better visibility. But that could have been so much worse than it actually ended up being. And I remember just like rolling back into my tent, like sobbing. And, you know, one of my tent mates like woke up and was like, are you okay? What just happened? And I'm like, I just need to like get some sleep and figure it out in the morning. And, you know, I had a whole debrief about it in the morning with our trip leaders. But that was like legitimately the first time in my life I thought I was going to die. Like, I still think that like if humans had lives, like, you know, we talk about cats with 9 lives, I think I used one of mine on that day. I don't know how, you know, things got lucky, but I think it was just a good reminder too that like things can go south so fast. If it didn't stop snowing, like, I don't know if I would still be here. Yeah, so mountains are not something to mess with for sure. Even when you go out at night to use the bathroom, like bring everything you need with you. A good lesson on just like, yeah, how careful you have to be in the mountains for sure. But yeah, that was definitely the low point.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I remember that happening. We weren't tent mates that time, but I remember it happening, but I don't think I remember it being, I didn't realize, or I'd forgotten that it was like hours and you'd built a shelter. So that is terrifying.
Yeah. Especially since it was like, I mean, just knowing that I was on the side of a mountain and that I couldn't see and just like, didn't want to like step in one direction and kind of like slide down a cliff face. Yeah. Of a bunch of, you know, scree essentially. And yeah, it was a reflecting experience for sure.
So how did you manage to stay calm throughout that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just stopping and realizing that, me like yelling into the darkness wasn't really a great use of my energy. I think just stepping back and like recognizing that I am panicking really helped. And, you know, trying to think through what's the most logical steps to preserve my energy and also, you know, hopefully get back to my tents or get the attention of my team safely. So, I mean, ultimately, I think I just got lucky. I got lucky that it stopped snowing and I was able to see. I think, you know, I was able to sit down and say, okay, this is a hill. If you go up, you're not going to fall down the mountain, most likely, and kind of be able to hopefully see what's going on from that viewpoint if it stops snowing. And yeah, luckily I spotted the tents kind of in the moonlight. Then it honestly came down to a lot of luck. I think it came down to, yeah, me being able to step back and recognizing that I'm freaking out and freaking out's not going to help. What's going to help is, you know, thinking through the available options and how can I use my limited resources to keep me alive and get me back to my tent, which it's so easy to step back and say now. I'm sure if you attached like a microphone to me and, you know, something to like peer into my brain in the moment, I was like definitely straight up like panicking. I think it's definitely, I think, translatable to the other parts of my life today. You know, I tend to be a very emotional person too. So, you know, I think being able to step back kind of had like a having like a out of body experience almost, and like recognizing what's happening to your body in any given moment has been really helpful for me just throughout my life.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's really applicable to life. Like you were saying, I mean, obviously your experience, I mean, literally was like in the wilderness, life or death. But I think the same techniques that you apply to just take a step back and kind of breathe can be applied to day-to-day life, where maybe we're not literally, it's not life or death, but we still have that, like our body can't differentiate between if a lion is chasing us or if it's like, you know, an email from our boss or something that's irritating to us. Like it's the same impact on our nervous system. So I think like applying those kind of breathing, taking a step back, looking at the situation and then taking like one step forward can be applied to that. And I think that's also why, like, I really love, even though it sucks in the moment, these experiences, like it just gives you so much perspective. And so that when we go back into the world, the day-to-day world, like we can apply those lessons mm-hmm. that we learned in the wilderness and maybe not freak out as much or be able to take a breath or not get so upset about something that maybe I otherwise would have, because you have like these like really challenging experiences to kind of balance you out.
Mm-hmm. And it also kind of reminds me of, you know, when we took wilderness education on our Knowles course, and I actually have taken a wilderness first aid course as well, where, you know, I think my instructor laid it out really well. I mean, a lot of times what happens is you get a flight or fight response, right? And it actually happens in so many situations in life, you know, when somebody cuts you off on the highway, or like you get lost in the wilderness going to the bathroom. And one technique she taught that I remember is, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's essentially just mindful breathing. But she did mention that, you know, when you're breathing, if you breathe in less than you breathe out, so your out breath is longer, that fights kind of that immediate fight or flight response in your body. And I actually try to employ that as much as possible. That's like my next realm of education I want to get better at, just meditation and mindful breathing and how to, calm kind of just the natural like stresses that pop up in your body. I really, really respect people who have a good control over that, because my attention span will not let me meditate very well, but something I'm working on too.
Yeah. I love that you said that too, because I'm just getting into breath work too. And that's actually something that I work with my clients on, is it's called 5-5-7 breath. And so you inhale, breath counts, hold for 5, and then exhale for 7. And like you said, mm-hmm. that longer exhale that actually activates the vagal nerve and can really calm your mm-hmm. nervous system and really trick your nervous system. Even if you're freaking out, like that tricks your nervous system. And it's like, oh, I'm breathing like a calm person, I must be calm. And that just, I can just feel all this like tension release.
Yeah. And I think that's actually the funniest part for me. And I think it's a theme that I've had throughout my life in terms of like type 2 fun and all of that stuff. It's just so much of it is mental. Like even if it's like inherently a physical thing that's happening, whether it's some physical activity or your like body is physically freaking out, like it's so mental, and you can literally trick your your mental state to perform better physically, which I think is just such a funny fact of being human.
Yeah. So I have a confession to make, and I have to tell you this about on the Knowles trip, because I did not tell anybody on the trip. And after hearing your story in more detail, I don't think it's nearly as scary or as challenging as what you went through, but I still have to tell you, because this was for me was one of the probably top 3 like hardest, worst days of my life. And it's just so it'll be like therapeutic for me to just tell you, because I like kept it in and it was just like awful. But so a couple days, so I remember when that happened for you. And it was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 days after we were working on climbing the pass, the 18,000 foot pass down Endura. And so this was the day that we were like, we had slept up on the glacier. We had like tried to summit and like couldn't find the route. And so we like had to make that camp kind of halfway between, I think it was like Caffney Col and the Don Endura pass. So we're hiking there and we slept out on the glacier. Well, that day, like for some reason, I don't know, I had like, as far as like the group gear, I feel like everybody gave me the heavy group gear that particular day. And so my star packs were like 60, 65 pounds. So mine felt, that was the heaviest it had been. And so I was on Felipe and Mingma's work group team. So everybody else had kind of gone up the Don Enduro Pass. And it's probably about 45, 50 degree angle. And I had already gone to the bathroom that day, but we're about to go. I'm leading the rope team and we're about probably 3/4 of the way up. And all of a sudden, like my stomach starts to hurt and I'm like, crap, I have to go to the bathroom, but I can't, like I'm on the rope team. I can barely breathe. The pack is so heavy. It's really steep incline. It's not like I can just like stop right there. So what I did not tell you guys was that I shat my pants like on the way up this thing. And I also had white pants on too. So that was great. So I'm like hiking up and I'm like, oh my gosh, is this happening? Like this is actually happening. So we get up there and I thought that was the summit. And then everybody's like, nope, it's a false summit. We gotta do more. So I'm like, okay. So I do what I can to clean up before we go up to like the second pass. And we hike up. And then I remember getting on top and like, you know, we're like taking a deep breath. Like, this is amazing. Like we all have a picture together. And then, but I knew we had to like hike down, and hiking down is like the worst for me, especially with like that heavy of a pack. And so I'm like behind Felipe and Mingma, and we're hiking down the glacier. And then I like slip and fall with this heavy ass pack on. And I'm like having to like self-arrest, like kick my feet in, use the ice axe, stop. And then we eventually get off the glacier and then we're on this moraine, which for listeners, it's like, it's like this huge, like boulder field of like loose rock that like went on for miles. I mean, it was just like endless and there's no clear trail. Like there were no clear trails in India the whole time really, except maybe the first week or so. And I remember at one point we had to like stop and like haul our packs. Like we couldn't walk down. I don't know if we had to like rappel down and then we had to like haul packs. And then I'm getting like, it's just like a long day and I'm just getting tired and I'm just worn out and like upset with like the whole bathroom situation. And I remember like the guys like hauled my pack and they're like, dang, like your pack is heavy. And I was like, no shit. Like, I'm so upset. And then we keep going. And then at one point, like, I think we're like on the moraine and Prani and Felipe are like looking for a place to camp because there's like no like easy place to camp on this moraine. And so we're sitting there and then all of a sudden like I have to go pee really bad and I still have my harness on and I have the pack on and I was just like, I could, like it just came so quickly, like I couldn't. So then I just like peed on myself. So I like shot myself and peed myself on the same day with white pants on. And I was just like, oh my God, like, and I don't know if, how much longer later, like I remember sitting there and just like, I don't want to go back on the glacier. I was like ready to be off the glacier, but the sun is setting and I'm just feeling like all the feelings. And I still have my sunglasses on and I'm like just trying to keep it together. And I remember Mike looked at me and he was like, are you okay? And like, that's the worst thing anybody can ask me when I'm like about to, which he didn't know, like, and I just like lose it crying. But then all of you guys were like so awesome and just like jumped in and like, I think maybe you gave me a hug and like, I got a Jolly Rancher from somebody and Mingma was like, where is your puffy? And she just like, I'm like, it's at the bottom of my pack. Just like start crying more. And so she like, I mean, it takes me, I don't know how long it took you, but it took me like 45 minutes to pack every morning to pack that stupid pack. Like it took forever. I don't know if I ever got efficient at it, but she like got in and out in like less than 10 minutes. I'm like, I don't know. It was like magic, but I was just like so over that day and embarrassed. And like, we had to go back on the glacier to camp. And so like, I thought about telling you guys, but I was like, I just can't. Like, I don't know. That was one of the worst days for me. So that's my confession.
I mean, I do remember you being upset that day. I don't think I knew the full details, which, you know, I'm so glad you shared with me now. And you're comfortable doing that. I think, you know, everyone, especially when they have a traumatic experience like that, it's at your own pace. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like what a quintessential like summary of Noel's, just like getting beat down to your core and like, you know, getting brought back up with the people that you're with and who are supporting you. Yeah, I I still don't understand. Mingma as a person was just like, you know, for I guess context for everybody else, she was someone who was from Nepal and joined us on her trip. She, you know, worked with the Khumbu Climbing Center, was just like an all around badass, was definitely the just the most petite person on her team, but like she was an animal and she was good at like everything, including like, yeah, packing in the morning, like carrying the most weight. It's incredible. I mean, she was so inspiring to me, just like she, and that Mingma embodies grit for sure, as a person. But yeah, I mean, I honestly just feel so happy that you can say you felt supported in that moment. And it's the same for me, you know, the next day I remember Felipe and Prani just having like a debrief on what happened and people being there for me. And I got a lot of hugs too that I really needed at that time. And so, yeah, I mean, never fun, you know, especially having to go to the bathroom in those conditions. So I'm so sorry that happened, Haley. That's a shitty day for anybody.
yeah, for sure. Well, and then like later, as I've been like, I talked with Eva Cortry, she had hiked on the podcast. She solo hiked the Appalachian Trail. And I told a little bit of the story, not the whole story, but she was like, oh yeah, it's like, there's a saying that you're not a real through hiker unless you've crapped your pants. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't realize, there we go. So I guess I'm a real through hiker then. So
yeah. And I never ran track or anything in, you know, high school or college, but I have so many friends now, you know, friends like Carly who just crush like half marathons. And she's like, yeah, if you run like high school or college track, like you're going to pee yourself minimum at some point, like at the end of a run. So I agree with Eva. It's kind of the mark of, it's a rite of passage in a way. Not that I would wish it upon anyone, but I think, yeah, you should kind of, I hope you look back now and you're like, yeah, that was honestly badass that I bounced back from that moment. And, you know, think about it when you need some help getting through another situation. You're like, wow, I got through that. I can get through anything.
Yeah, for sure. And same for you too. I mean, that's like, that's one of the things that I like to do is like write down like your top five or so, like really hard things that you've already survived and like write it down and like post it where it's visible so that when you do have challenging feelings come up, you can like look at those things and just be reminded that like, yeah, I'm mm-hmm. a badass. I can do hard things. I can survive and thrive and let's just keep going. So I love that.
Yep. Totally. Yeah. You went through all those tough moments, but you're still here. You're still kicking.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you want folks to know most about outdoor adventure from your experiences?
Great question. I think just that outdoor adventure, in my opinion, is the greatest platform, I think, to realize what your physical body is capable of. I think it's a great way to push yourself, you know, in whatever way you choose. I started out really loving hiking and backpacking. Now I would say my passion is definitely skiing. It's been something that's been really great to get into when I moved to Colorado, and it's basically all I think about from November to May. I think that's the first part of it, but, you know, also, and I think I touched on this earlier, but it's just such an incredible way to like connect with other people. And, some of my best memories are just being outdoors, even if it's in situations that I'm like cold and wet and miserable, or like, you know, happens a lot when you're skiing, you're just like cold to the bone and so tired, or and like going down a run that you probably shouldn't have. And it's just so fun with other people, and the chance to like go through those experiences with other people, I think, are just, for me, like the times when, yeah, like I really felt alive and connected to the people around me. I think that's what outdoor adventure at the end of the day is really about.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. I love the connection too. Like you just meet a lot of really cool people, and it's just mm-hmm. like just a time for that connection. And when, I think if you go through something hard like that, like you develop that deeper bond with somebody, And it just makes, it makes the suck more bearable too. Like it's definitely worth it. So,
I mean, bonding through adversity is such a real thing, I gotta say.
Yeah, for sure. So Reese, what is next for you?
Oh, that's a really good question. Gosh, Haley, if you're able to tell me this, that would be amazing because I'm still trying to figure this out for myself. But yeah, I'm really trying to figure out the balance in my life with being what I consider to be an outdoorsy person. You know, I think at this point it's really core to my identity. I love being outdoors.
You know, I think I'm really just excited to get more involved in the community here in Denver and, you know, hopefully eventually beyond too. You know, my passion has always been in equity and access to the outdoors. So I'm working right now with an organization called Asian Girls Ignite, which supports AAPI girls in Colorado. It's primarily about, you know, identity and what it is being an AAPI woman in a state that doesn't have much diversity. And I actually joined to help build out an outdoor programming section to that. So we've been doing hikes and rock climbing, and you know, hopefully next month we're working with Vail Resorts to have a event introducing some of these girls to snow sports. I've been super excited about that. Just got my wilderness first aid and about to get my ski instructor level 1 certification through PSIA, AASI, I think that's the right letters, as well. So I'm really excited to just, you know, continue to be a hand that is, you know, outreach to help people get into the outdoors, because there are so many barriers to entry, you know, from financial to cultural. I experienced it growing up, and I'm excited just to be, you know, someone that other people can go to the outdoors with and start to love it as much as I do. So I think that's me manifesting that for myself.
Oh, I love that. You're meant for big things, Reese. So I cannot wait to follow you and see where your journey takes you.
Thank you, Haley. I so appreciate that.
So where can we connect with you and follow you on your journey?
Yeah, I am pretty active on LinkedIn and Instagram. I shot you both my URLs for that. So, you know, if anybody wants to connect with me on just the concept of outdoor adventure, I'm also doing a lot of work in terms of equity and access to the outdoors, particularly in Colorado. So if you're ever interested in that, or, you know, I'm also looking for skiing and snowboard instructors who are willing to volunteer their time to help introduce some high schoolers to snow sports in the Denver area. So big PSA there, but yes, feel free to hit me up anytime on LinkedIn or Instagram. And I would love to chat.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Reese. I love catching up. It is such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Haley. I appreciate you having me on your podcast. And yeah, so I've enjoyed our conversation.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that episode. Here are the takeaways. Number one, the reason we race isn't so much to beat each other, but to be with each other. Number two, the outdoors is the greatest possible platform for connection. Number three, adventure really begins at this mindset of intentionally tackling something that makes you uncomfortable in a positive way that forces you to grow. Number four, remember to breathe when you are in a stressful situation. Exhale for longer than you inhale. Number five, you're not a real thru hiker unless you've crapped your pants. Number six, outdoor adventure is the greatest platform to push yourself and realize what your body is capable of. Number seven, embrace the suck. Number eight, outdoor adventure is about feeling alive and connected to the people around you. Number nine, you bond through adversity. And number 10, probably not a great idea to wear white pants while in the backwoods for weeks on end. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I want you to know that I'm here to support you. So if there's a question you have or a way I can support you, please feel free to DM me on Instagram at haleyscomments310 or connect with me at haleyscomments.org. I'll be dropping episodes each week and I'm excited to hear from you. I'll talk to you soon. As a busy woman in the corporate world, I experience success in the traditional sense. A good job, a house, friends and family, my dog Fitzroy, I had a lot to be grateful for. Yet something still felt off. I felt like I was just going through the motions without any real sense of purpose or fulfillment. I struggled to find work-life balance. I felt like I was always on the go, juggling multiple responsibilities. I had lost touch with who I really am and what truly makes me happy. I was living on autopilot. What do you do if you feel overwhelmed and exhausted all the time, like you're constantly running on empty? What do you do if you can't seem to switch off and just relax? Even when you do have downtime, your mind is still racing with work and family worries. If you feel this way, you're not alone, and this is completely normal. It's why I designed a quiz to help busy, successful career women in their 30s and 40s who feel their life force is being drained, prioritize their self-care, and reclaim their energy by knowing their unique self-care style. When you finish the quiz, you get your tailor-made results sent directly to your inbox. Just click the link in the podcast show notes to take your free quiz to find out what is your unique self-care style.